Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
On this date 20 years ago, flights resumed in the U.S. after the 9/11 terrorist attacks. It was a Friday, and flying as we knew it changed forever. Here and Now's transportation analyst, Seth Kaplan, joins us now to talk more about what changed after that day and what the future of flying might look like. Hey, Seth.
Hey, Tanya.
So much has changed since 9/11. The way pilots and crews are trained, the way passengers are screened, the cost and amenities of flights, you name it. Before we get into that, though, how would you describe what it was like to fly before 9/11? What do you remember?
Well, I guess, first of all, we're admitting we're a certain age at this point, right? If we even have those memories, the whole generation of people who never did it. But, Tanya, you could kind of divide it into, well, what airlines call the above-wing experience and below-wing. Above-wing is the stuff we see, you know, literally, the ticket counters, the security checkpoint, everything up there. And then below-wing, the bags being loaded onto the plane. In terms of what we experienced, again, and those of us who remember doing it, the security checkpoint, first of all, was manned by contractors, companies that, same kinds of security companies that you might see at a ballpark nowadays, perhaps. And you could go through without a ticket generally. So you could see someone off, as we used to say, right? Mm-hmm. Just like you can at a train station nowadays, go with your relatives and wave goodbye to them at the gate, or you can meet a flight at the gate, pick somebody up there. And below wing, it was just as different. And this is something we didn't really feel necessarily, but our bags, when we checked them, they generally weren't screened before they went onto the airplane, the way the bags are as we go through the security checkpoint. So a different experience, both one that we saw and what we didn't see. All that, of course, changed shortly after 9/11.
Yeah, as well as the creation of the Transportation Safety Administration, yeah. The TSA. What was flying in the U.S. like those days and months after 9/11? What was the new reality like for passengers that are still in practice today? We know, of course, checking bags, security, all of those kinds of things.
Well, in the immediate aftermath, it was more like, well, anybody who had ever traveled, let's say, to a country like Israel, certain countries that had gotten used to ever-present security risks, you showed up and the National Guard was there. And I can remember the first time showing up, and again, in this country, seeing folks holding semi-automatic weapons, just not something you'd ever seen at the airport before. And that was the reality for a while. And all kinds of new checks, all kinds of new questions at the ticket counter, some of which endure to this day, some of which later the security folks decided, hey, that's more theater than something that actually helps. And they've sort of refined it down to where, yeah, it's a lot stricter than it was before 9/11. But not the way it was 20 years ago this Friday, Robin, yeah. When, as you said, those very first passenger flights took off after a handful of flights the day before, just for pilots to kind of reposition the planes.
Right. It was also difficult financially for airlines. Quite a few of them folded. It was a time of bankruptcies and mergers and huge losses. How did the airline operations change in terms of pricing and other policies?
Yeah, in fact, almost every airline at some point in the years after 9/11 went bankrupt. They didn't all disappear, but any airline that you can think of nowadays, the large airlines like Delta and United, American did later. That was kind of more in the recession later, beginning of the next decade. But so they were basically out of money, and that led to a wave of consolidation. Some small airlines simply disappeared. The larger ones merged. So those of us who remember flying airlines like Continental, which became part of United, U.S. Airways, which became part of American later, first merged with America West, which was another one. AirTran became part of Southwest later. The industry has fewer airlines today, and you can largely trace that back to 9/11, those financial struggles kind of forced them to do that and kind of forced the government to allow some mergers that maybe it wouldn't have allowed had the airlines been in better financial health.
Yeah, the job has also changed for pilots and flight crew since 2001. Mm-hmm. You know, our listeners who travel internationally get to experience flying in a way that we here in the United States haven't since before 9/11. Do you see a future where we'd see less security and precautions? What could the next few years look like? And I have just under a minute with you.
Yeah, I don't know about less security, but I think sort of tactical backing off some of the measures, the pre-check program or the global entry program, programs, for example, where people can agree to, well, give up some of their privacy in exchange for having an easier time getting through people who are enrolled in pre-check. It's a little bit more like it was before 9/11, not entirely so. And so I think we'll continue to see more of that. But we're not going back to the pre-9/11 days because, of course, that was the worst day in the history of aviation, and everybody's willing to trade some of their freedoms, at least, for the safety that we have today.
That's Seth Kaplan. He's Here and Now's transportation analyst. As always, thank you so much, Seth.
Thanks, Tanya.